Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
And welcome to Your Questions Answered, another podcast where I get a member of the What Culture Wrestling team and ask them all the questions you want to know the answers to in the world of wrestling. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we review Raw, SmackDown, the Wednesday Night War between AEW and NXT, pay-per-views, we have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. As I said, I'm Adam Wilborn, and joining me today to take on the Q&A community is one Andy Murray. Andy, we do this on a regular basis on the news, but I think I've found some ones that we haven't tackled. Let's dive straight into it, Andy. A question here from V Hero on Twitter, who says, with Andrade leaving, it seems like every time WWE gets a new and upcoming great talent, they let them slip through their fingers. Do you think Vince is living in the past and over-reliant on older wrestlers too much? What do you reckon? Are WWE living in the past? Are they too reliant upon legends or just old guys?
So to kind of preface this, there are effective ways to use old guys in pro wrestling, right? There are ways to kind of honor what these people have done for your business and the business as a whole and use them in beneficial ways that lift up younger wrestlers rather than leave them flattened by a jackhammer at a Saudi Arabian pay-per-view in 2020, The Fiend and Goldberg. When we often have this debate, I think a lot of people take it as, oh, these guys hate all the legends and everything else. But I think it's fair to say from WWE's use of legends that, yes, Vince McMahon often uses them to the detriment of his younger wrestlers rather than using them to put people over. I guess you could look at something like Goldberg versus Drew McIntyre this year at the Royal Rumble and say, okay, well, Drew just kicked his ass in like 3 minutes. It was fine. But at the same time, it's like the mood, certainly watching that match and following along with reactions on social media, wasn't like cathartic when Drew won. It was, everyone was really anxious that Goldberg was going to win. It just wasn't a very pleasant experience. And to summarize, yes, I do believe that Vince is very, very deeply entrenched in the past. The fact is, and look, a lot of people don't like this statement and get very fired up by this, but it's a fact. WWE has not built a significant money-drawing megastar in a long time. The list of wrestlers who you can point to on the WWE roster today and go, that person is a star because they move business in a positive direction, because they make TV ratings, they boost TV ratings, they sell loads of merch, they sell loads of tickets when we're touring. That list of people is very, very small. At the moment, you're kind of limited to Sasha Banks, Roman Reigns, and not a whole lot else. Edge's return has been a bust in that regard. So yes, I do agree that Vince McMahon is indeed stuck in the past with his use of legends. I meandered all over the place like a drunk driver there, but we got to the point in the end.
No, it's nice to have a bit more time to talk about this. We obviously normally sort of fly through these on the news. What do you think would need to happen for him to change that mindset and decide that the next Andrade or Aleister Black or Ricochet, or, you know, I could go on here for quite some time, is someone that he needs to put ahead of a Sheamus, for example, who I think has been doing sensational stuff, but he is, you know, a, what, 10, 15-year veteran of WWE right now?
Yeah, he's 40-odd. It would require a complete philosophical overhaul, because the thing that WWE have trumpeted whenever the executives are grilled on these, like, calls and, you know, media events and everything else, they always go, well, wrestlers are not the draw anymore. The brand is the draw. Well, that brand has lost more than 50% of its viewership in the past 6 or 7 years. Clearly, the brand is not a draw, brother. It would require a complete retooling of the company's booking methods and practices. You know, we've had guys like Drew McIntyre, who was universally popular throughout his whole world title reign and did good work. And, you know, people are very invested online, at least, and people like Bianca Belair and everyone else at the moment. But there's not, you can't credibly call these people stars, because what numbers are they popping? How are they contributing to the business moving forward? Every metric shows that WWE's overall audience across every platform is shrinking, not growing, and there are very few people doing the right things. But it's a whole hodgepodge of things for me. You know, the old chestnuts come into it, the 50-50 booking, the scripted promos that make people sound like robots. Even things like the horrible presentation on TV, like the 700 camera cuts per match. And I think there's a lot of barriers. But at the end of the day, I come back to this point quite a lot. I feel like WWE has transitioned from more of a traditional wrestling company to a content company in recent years. Mm. They want moments. They want things they can put in highlight reels and put on YouTube and upload for extra revenue and all of these things. They're not necessarily like a deep, rich storytelling place. They will book for these moments rather than the richer overall narrative. So, yeah, for me, it is a complete retooling of their entire booking philosophy. And I would be very dubious of that even ever happening. Even if Vince steps aside, who did Triple H learn everything he knows about booking a pro wrestling promotion from? There you go.
Let's go to another question from Twitter then. One talking about AEW here from Wrestling Fun Time. Andy says, with all the content that AEW is putting out, do you think they are building up a library to sell off to a streaming service? Yeah, are we going to get AEW's own version of the WWE Network on Peacock, perhaps?
I do think that that is ultimately the future for professional wrestling organizations, at least in the medium term, like over the next 5 or 6 or so years. It seems like a lot of these platforms, such as Peacock, are just desperate for content. Acquire as much stuff as possible, maybe pay a little bit over the odds for it. Eventually, you know, a bunch of platforms that can't survive will die out and the big ones will be left with all of the stuff. That seems to be the thing at the moment. The barrier to like AEW launching with, say, the AEW Network has always been, well, they only have one show a week and they've only done like 4 pay-per-views a year or whatever. It doesn't really justify $9.99 a month. So I do think that that move is in AEW's future, long or medium term or whatever. But at the same time, I don't think they're necessarily producing stuff with that being the goal. I don't think that Dark is being done as something that people go, hey, I'll pay money for that every month. All due respect to the wrestlers on Dark, it's an important show for developing and stuff, but it's not, you know, there's a reason it's on YouTube for free. Same with Elevation. And, you know, we've got the upcoming TNT Extra Hour, whatever that's going to be and whenever that's going to come around. So it's something that I do think will happen. I just don't think it's something they're necessarily working towards. Their TV deal, I believe, is up for negotiation again. It's either next year or the year after. That'll be an interesting point to see where we're at with all of this. But I do think it's inevitable. At some point, they're going to end up on a proper streaming platform for sure.
Yeah, I do sense that with the amount of output they're putting out right now, as much as that's spread over, you know, the YouTube and TV and what have you, and this other hour of TV we're going to get, it just makes sense, like you say. And especially, it's going to be very interesting to see how that is tackled with their work with other promotions like New Japan and Impact. Very intriguing with that going forward. Sticking with AEW, question from regular contributor Matt Rains. Always great to hear from you, Matt. Matt says, why hasn't AEW strapped Dr. Britt Baker yet? She seems more than ready for the title, and I think it would somewhat complete the transformation of the women's division. Cheers, guys. She's got to be champion at some point in 2021, I assume, Andy.
Oh yeah, she's going to win it at Double or Nothing. That would be my prediction. So when you know, they announced the Eliminator tournament, I kind of thought it was being put together for Britt to win and then take the title.
Same.
So when Britt went out, like pretty much straight away, I was like, oh, this is weird. What's going on here? Why is Baker going out of the tournament? What's going on? But, you know, a lot of us sat there and went, oh, this is what's happened here? Why have they done this? Why has Britt gone out? The silver lining of that has been that she has been able to continue the Thunder Rosa feud and have Thunder Rosa go over in that awesome lights out match. So it does seem like that was the plan all along, that they were going to get to this point and get to this match and have it main event and you know, market it as a big, big deal. And for it to come off so well and be so widely praised was a nice positive from all of that. I do think that she's going to get it soon. Double or nothing, like I say, would be my pick. Britt Baker's tremendous. I think over the past, I don't know, like 14 months, she might be the most improved wrestler in the world. She wasn't doing particularly well as the babyface ace.
No.
You know, the character wasn't clicking. The promo work wasn't at all confident. The matches, you know, the work was, it was fine, but it wasn't at the level it is today. She's just improved in every aspect of her game. You know, and for a while last year, while she had the heel character rolling, the conversation was always, okay, the character and the promos are amazing, but the matches are still not quite to that level. I think she's blown past that now. The level of improvement is really, really stark. I cannot name a single quality that she does not have that you would want as a top-level champion, and I think she's going to be a great heel champion with the likes of Thunder Rosa, with the likes of Riho, Shida, everyone else you can name chasing her. It's going to be fantastic. The Shida reign, I feel sorry for Hikaru Shida. She's an immensely hard worker. Mm. She's had very good matches, particularly with the first Nyla Rose match is my favorite of her reign. But I love the Ryu Mizunami match as well. She just hasn't had the character work. She hasn't had the stories. It's going to go down as ultimately a disappointing reign, and it's not her fault. So hopefully Britt can rectify that. AEW has booked her very well so far. It's only a matter of time for, right? Like, if she didn't win the belt like 2 months ago, hey, man, we can wait another couple of months. It'll be fine.
And sticking with world titles in AEW, very quickly, this question from Colm Creamer, who says, if Hangman, for whatever reason, can't beat Kenny for the title, who should it be instead? And who should beat Hangman for the title if he can?
So my default answer to any who should win the AEW world title question at the moment, regardless of who they beat and how they hold it, is Eddie Kingston, because Eddie Kingston is the greatest human being. but to answer your question in good faith, I honestly wouldn't be shy of going back to another Moxley reign. You know, it might not be the most popular answer in the world because people want something different, but the guy was extremely successful as AEW world champion. Even if you weren't into the work, and I was into the work and the promos and everything else, business-wise, quarter-hour numbers with Moxley as champion were tremendous. And on top of that, you know, he's cutting great promos every single week. He, more than anyone else, even than Chris Jericho, who I thought had a fantastic world title reign, he made that belt feel like the most important thing in the world. He told you it was his priority and he made it feel that way every single week. So I would not be shy of going to Moxley at all. As far as other potential babyface challengers, you know, if Darby Allin loses the TNT title, I could see them going down that route.
Mm-hmm.
But really, looking at it right now, it's very hard to see beyond Hangman, isn't it? Mm-hmm. But, you know, like, I kind of joked a little bit about Eddie, but it would kind of be awesome, right?
Like, oh, yeah.
The guy wouldn't need to have a long world title reign. He is, in my opinion, the best promo in the business. He's so naturally likable. He's unique in wrestling in that his character is this rugged, tough guy, but he's raw as well. He's not afraid to tell you, like, his rough emotional core, turning the failed crappy explosion into a conversation about mental health in on a wrestling show. Totally unique. You could absolutely do Eddie winning the belt and holding it for like a month or two before the next heel up comes along. And you know what? I've talked myself into that.
And in terms of if Hangman, because I can't see past, I love the Eddie Kingston booking, but I can't see past Hangman Page being the guy to take that belt off Kenny Omega down the road. Who would you have beat Hangman for it? And when would you have that happen? Because I have a very particular piece of booking for that. I'll let you go first.
Is it MJF and is it after like a month?
Yep.
Because that would be mine as well. That would be mine as well. I think, you know, the long chase from Hamman gets the payoff, gets the big win. Who better to come in and spoil the party? Our very good friend, Maxwell Jacob Friedman. He's the guy, man. He's the guy. He's going to be one of the people alongside Hangman who leads this promotion, hopefully, to continued success over the years. I think that that's going to be a rivalry that eventually is going to define AEW. Mm. And if Hangman, loses on like his second defense or something, cruelly and meanly, and gets everyone really annoyed and fired up, I want you to get that evil doing son of a gun. That's great stuff, and I'm right there with you.
Yeah, I'm already fantasy booking past that to Jungle Boy being the guy to eventually take it off MJF, because he's someone I would suggest, but I feel it'd be too soon to have him take it off Kenny Omega, don't you?
Yeah, you're right. Jungle Boy's a long-term project, isn't he? I love the guy a lot, and I think like this year's match with Dax Harwood was like a clear sign of progress from him. But making stars takes years often. It takes years and years and years, and they've been patient with Darby Allin. They've been patient with MJF, although he's higher up than a lot of people. And they'll be patient with people like Jungle Boy as well, for sure.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Coach Marv brings us our next question, one we get quite a lot and one I'm always unsure of the answer to, if I'm perfectly honest. Coach Marv says, with the abundance of talent the WWE has and struggles to find time for, is it time to consider adding another championship, whether that's a mixed tag team championship, a secondary women's championship like the US, an intercontinental title for the men, or something else to utilize more talent? So we get this question about WWE, we get this question about AEW.
Yeah.
More titles for you, Andy?
No, I think we've got enough titles. The thing for me is that if you look at the current landscape of championships in WWE, every brand, apart from 205 Live, has at least a world title, tag team title, a mid-card title or a secondary title, the Heritage Cup in the NXT UK, and at least one set of tag team titles, be it a women's tag team title, men's tag team title, or whatever. How many of them are booked with any real degree of importance is the big one. So, you know, top-level titles have been genuinely quite well booked over the past year or so. Drew was a great WWE champion. Bobby Lashley, not too thrilled about his current run, but you look at the Universal title, Roman Reigns is obviously the man, doing tremendous, tremendous heel stuff. And, you know, Big E's had a good Intercontinental title run, but that US title on Raw does it even exist, is my question. Is it even a real thing? Lashley held it for a long time, and he was dominant, but will you remember much about that reign, like 5 years from now? I don't think you will.
No.
So, for me, I think I would rather see them kind of fix their current divisions before going into anything else. You got these women's tag team titles, and almost every team, I guess you can't classify the champions of this now because they've been together for like a year, but almost every team in that division is just some thrown together thing that exists just because. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to have this gauntlet or this battle royal at WrestleMania, and then the challengers are going to go on to face Shayna and Nia Jax. So it's literally a 24-hour build, and it'll be something like Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose, who just, I don't know, they just wrestled together for fun. There's other examples in many other divisions in the company. I think the solution is just fixing those and treating them with a little bit more importance before we start adding more. You know, if WWE had a budding trios division and wanted to be AEW to the punch, hey, I'd be here for that. But they don't. They just don't. And they are fascinated with just splitting groups up for no reason, like they did to the Hurt Business, which I still haven't stopped crying about this week. But no, I think we've got enough titles, man, anymore. And I just don't know where you'd put them, put it that way.
I'd be tempted to say you don't have to have people feud only over titles. But then I also would have to caveat and say women don't just have to fight over men instead, and men don't just have to fight about removing eyeballs from each other. So it's a dangerous path to go down with that. Aaron Merkel, great to hear from Aaron again. Thank you for tweeting us. Aaron says, hey, lads, what's one male and one female post-WrestleMania feud you would like to see?
Oh, baby, baby. I really do want to see Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley after WrestleMania. I love Asuka. She's one of my favorite WWE wrestlers, maybe of all time. But this Raw Women's title run has not been particularly well handled. That's an example. There's a good example of a division that used to be really well booked and isn't anymore. It hasn't been a great title reign. I would like Rhea to win the belt at WrestleMania. And then I would like... Let's just make good for WrestleMania 36, man. Let's put Rhea Ripley over Charlotte clean. I think it'd be the right thing to do. And I think it would be a great match. The first one was awesome. No reason to believe the second one wouldn't be awesome as well. As far as men's feuds go, man, it's kind of tough. It's kind of tough. Today on the news, I think you fantasy booked Cesaro and Daniel Bryan for the title. I'd be here for that. I'd be here for that. But they're probably not going to indulge my nerdy fantasies on that one, are they? So, Bad Bunny versus John Morrison. No, not going to talk myself into that. If Big E loses the Intercontinental title to Apollo, which seems like a thing that could happen, I would be totally up for him being the Tribal Chief's next challenger. I think that'd be pretty sick.
Yeah.
I'd like him to take the belt, in fact, as well. But I think those two feuds would be pretty damn awesome, for sure.
I love the Rhea and Charlotte potential obviously that's not going to go down at WrestleMania, and at time of recording it's not. That is a potential long-term feud to take us to maybe to SummerSlam. You know, I'd have Rhea maybe defend the title against, you've got a lot of heels that have already had a go against Asuka, but maybe not against Rhea, or you want to present Rhea as more of a Rhea's more of a heel initially. I don't know exactly how they're going to do this, but I think that's the right way to go. Or you could have Bailey. Bailey versus Rhea Ripley. Bailey switches brands. Jesus, that'd be tasty. Or if you want to lean on the history and actually book her well, put Shayna on SmackDown, have her challenge Bianca Belair, and just actually inform everyone of Shayna Baszler was really good when she was in NXT and before we ruined her. In terms of male feuds, like you say, it's slightly more fantasy booking for me. Daniel Bryan versus Cesaro. You all know Cesaro isn't winning the title, so you might as well just get as the best possible match out of all that. Or if Bobby Lashley, I don't think it's going to happen, but if Bobby Lashley leaves WrestleMania 37 as your WWE champion, I got too excited about this last week, but give me Bobby Lashley versus Samoa Joe, please. And
that'd be real nice.
I promise I won't complain anymore. right, let's fly through some questions here. We've got loads, and I apologize if I don't get to yours. We'll be doing more and more of these. We really enjoy them with a variety of different people from What Culture Wrestling. And obviously, we'll get Andy back on. But just in case, I'll ask this question from Oliver, because otherwise, there's not many other people I can ask. Well, there is, but it seemed appropriate for you, Andy. Oliver writes, who would be in your stable of wrestling bald men all time and or current?
Steve Austin, obviously. Cesaro, because obviously. Mm-hmm. Gotta throw a few banter eggs in there, haven't we? Bastian Booger, was he bald or did he have a shit? I can't remember.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, we're throwing him in there for the banter, and Gilbert. So what we have there is the perfect combination of two guys who are actually good and two guys who are banter. And it would be the worst stable of all time. But, you know, Up the balds. We don't get enough love in this cruel, cold, hairy world.
If you get a bald stable, then I'm going to set up my own redheaded stable. Becky Lynch has to be in it, so it's going to be a variety of different people in there. I have to have Sheamus because I feel like he's the main representative. Other two, I will go Ginger Undertaker.
Booger Red.
And S.A. Rios.
There we go. Get in.
And actually, just as I was answering that, I was just looking at some other questions we got. We got a question here from Ross Chaplin. Thank you for this, Ross. Ross says, hi, this is for Andy. I've recently joined Andy in the Bald Club. Does he have any advice slash tips and or tricks he can give?
Yeah, a couple. So get yourself a little handheld mirror for when you're cutting your hair so you can see what you're doing behind. You look in the mirror in the bathroom in front of you. You put the handheld one behind your head. You can see what you're doing and make sure you don't miss any spots. Also, if you're using a wet razor, do it in the shower. It's nice, it's quick, it's clean, it's easy. Your skin will be nice and soft. You'll just glide through it, it'll glide off. It's a beautiful thing indeed. Tip number three, moisturize. Always moisturize afterwards. You don't want the little flakes of skin that have been kicked up by you using your shaver or whatever. Moisturize, take care of your scalp. You will look fresh, shiny, crispy, and you will be a welcome member of the bald community.
Yes, exactly. Just there's some people, Tommaso Ciampa, just give up the fight. Just I'm going to have to do it eventually. But yeah, I think some people. Mr. Phoenix, who regularly joins us on our live stream, I forgot to answer this the other day when he asked it. Going to ask my question from the other day, they say. What do you guys think WWE, Impact, AEW, NXT, etc. could do to bring grumpy naysayers around on supernatural or spooky bollocks characters? Will we ever see one truly as over as The Undertaker? Now, you and I enjoy ripping the piss out of people like Fiend, but do you ever... I mean, there was a time, I distinctly remember that immediate build to and aftermath of the SummerSlam match with Finn Balor, where he seemed like a game changer. Do you think that there is still a way of presenting that? We've obviously seen it in Impact with like the Undead Realm or whatever it was a while back, and you've got bloody Abaddon in AEW. What do you reckon?
I don't think it's possible anymore. I don't think you're ever going to be able to appease so many people that The Undertaker appeased and got over as. I think that if The Undertaker never existed and the character debuted in 2021 in the exact same way he did in 1990 in WWE and ran through a very similar run, that it would flop just like, or not necessarily flop, but you know what I mean? Like divide people like The Fiend has. I just don't think it's possible anymore. I think wrestling has changed. I think the presentation of wrestling has changed. What we have today is people who are, lots of people love The Fiend and Alexa Bliss and stuff. So, you know, when we sit here and we talk about it and we have a laugh and whatever, we're not saying like objectively, this thing's awful, it shouldn't be on TV. It's usually just a case of, oh, it's not for us. What we have in this day and age is fans like us who are not necessarily, we're probably going to be more receptive to a more reality-based presentation. I think the time for those gimmicks to be truly successful has come and gone. I don't think we'll ever see it again. The Fiend sells loads of merchandise, though. He's very popular in that regard. But it's never going to work. You're not going to be able to convince your entire audience anymore. It's just, it's been too long, man. It's been too long. They kind of feel outdated. And look, if someone brought the Yeti back, you know, for a revival run, I would be here for it. But, you know, in 2021, I look at these acts across all companies, these supernatural acts, and I can't really point to a single one that has the same level of potential.
A final few questions here, Andy. In-ring psychology says, if you've ever lapsed watching wrestling, we all have, we're not all Michael Hamflers, what big event did you miss during that time? I stopped watching after giving up for Lent as a kid in 2009 and missed Jeff Hardy's, my favorite at the time, first world championship reign.
Oh man, that's a rough one. That's a rough one. I've gone through a few lapsed periods in my fandom, as you tend to do. Man, it's kind of tough to pick out just one event because there's a bunch of stuff like after the Chris Benoit incident happened that I didn't tune in for and didn't appreciate and didn't really enjoy in the moment. But something that I think is kind of unforgivable and will rightfully get a bunch of hate. I kind of tuned out before WrestleMania 25 in the first Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels match.
Really?
Which is, of course, an all-time classic, and I watched it a few months later and realized that, but it's a shameful mark nonetheless.
I missed a lot of the rise of the Shield, which is shameful for me. But I think whenever anyone asks a question about missing out on stuff, my mind automatically goes to NXT. I was so late to the party with NXT and things like, I think the big thing that I missed in the moment was probably like Bayley and Sasha and just the rise of like, oh, women are good at wrestling now. Like they'd always been elements of that. But for the most part, me growing up, it was just like, boobs, and then occasionally like Trish Stratus and Lita being mint, or Victoria or Jacqueline, or you know, whoever it may be. And then yeah, this women's evolution, revolution, trademark, whatever you want to call it, that WWE eventually slapped all over it. I wasn't there for that, basically. And it's something and just the rise generally of NXT, of people getting excited about Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn and the arrival of Shinsuke Nakamura and stuff like that, just wasn't there for. I've got there now, maybe. I wasn't say too late, but certainly on the final part of it all, I'd have to say. Final question, then, Andy, comes from Adam Smith. Adam writes, once Edge's run in WWE is done this time around and Christian Cage has played out plenty of single storylines in his current AEW run, could you see the two joining forces as part of AEW's incredible tag division for one final hurrah? And who would you want to see them face?
I would like to see some kind of final Edge and Christian run, or like a glory run, even if it only lasts a couple of months. And it's, you know, the big shame of them ending up in different companies that it's hard to see when that could ever happen. So I don't think it will ever happen, but to kind of go with the scenario that it will happen and they do end up there in AEW, there's a lot of really interesting matches for them there. I think FTR would be a very interesting style match, yeah, for sure. But, and it's kind of a default answer, but the Young Bucks, it's a literal dream match. It's, you know, one of the best teams of one generation and one of the best teams of this generation. Writes itself, it books itself. It would be so easy to do. And two old craftsmen like Edge and Christian in there with the hyper-modern Young Bucks style, I think it would be very good indeed.
And just for you, maybe Butcher and the Blade.
Oh, obviously. As long as Butcher and Blade squash them.
Right. This has been your questions answered. Apologies for any audio issues. We've had quite a few technical difficulties throughout this, but we got there in the end, Andy. Continue the conversation with us on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch, they can follow both of us. You can follow Andy Murray at...
Follow me at Andy H. Murray. The H stands for, hey, I've already given you one today. Piss off.
You can follow me on Twitter at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at What Culture WWE. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for more of these sorts of things, as along with daily wrestling podcasts, of course. But this has been your questions answered. Apologies if we didn't get around to yours. We will eventually, I promise. But for now, my thanks to Andy Murray. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape.
And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.